Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we do want to face the issues today. This is a listener participation program. You can call us at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Join in the discussion, the dialogue, having your input, as some call it, putting in your 2 cents worth. Love to hear from you. Love to have the privilege and the opportunity to have dialogue as we discuss some issues today. First of all, I want to remind you that on Sunday mornings at 9:30 at First Conservative Baptist Church, we have the Sunday School Hour. Some call it the Bible Study Hour. And then at 10:45, the morning worship service, and at 7 p.m., the evening worship service. And then on Wednesday at 7 p.m., our Bible study time, fellowship meal time. Sometimes we do the Bible question and answer, very similar to what we do by way of radio. You're invited. You're welcome. We'd be delighted to have you be with us. And also, one other thing that I oftentimes fail to mention is our Christian Campus Bookstore, sponsored by the university. We have about 6,000 titles of conservative Bible studies and reference books, including Bibles, about 6,000 titles, about 120,000 volumes. I'd be delighted to have you drop in, look, do a little shopping, see what the Lord would have you to do for your Bible study. When we come to asking questions about issues, whether it be political, social, economic, religious, spiritual, we need to come to the Word of God for an answer. Jesus said himself, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. And then Jesus himself said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And therefore, if we want to seek out and discover through wisdom from God what we ought to do in a situation, we need to see what the Scripture says and allow God through His Word, the Bible, give us instruction and direction. We're in an election cycle. In fact, this month, during the month of August, the latter part of August, we'll have our preliminaries, the primaries, and then in November, on November the 8th, we'll have Election Day. May I hasten to say, I believe, you can differ with me, and that's your privilege. I believe that this is the most important national election that our nation has ever experienced. I believe the decision that you make and that I make in the voting this November and the precursor to that in the primaries in August, I believe that this election cycle is the most important election cycle in our lifetimes. I believe that it's going to make a difference for the next 50 years in America, the direction that we go into or the direction that we go as Americans. May I remind us today, I want to discuss what the ordinary citizen, what we as believers need to understand and know in order to vote. Multitudes of people, in fact, it always, always dilemmatizes me. It always shocks me, and it should not, for people to say, well, I just don't vote. You know, they're all bad people, and it's a corrupt system. Therefore, I just will not vote. Well, we need to vote and allow God through His Holy Spirit to give us wisdom for doing so. Joshua, I believe you're on the line with a question.
Yeah, good afternoon. Well, a few comments. I like the verses from Isaiah talking about the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of his peace in government there shall be no end. And in Ezekiel, I will overturn until he come whose right it is. That's who my ultimate vote's for.
I agree with that, brother.
Yeah, I figured you would. I agree too. But do you see, since God's so sovereign and providential, do you see voting as that much of a duty of a Christian, or it's more a conscience of a Christian whether they should vote or not?
It's our duty, responsibility, and obligation. In fact, in the Scripture, there are several places that we could go to. I'll be dealing with one today, in fact, in Exodus, where Moses was given instruction as to what he ought to do to have leadership and the qualifications for that leadership. We find in the New Testament, in several places in the Timothy text, where it talks about what we ought to have as good men, what the Scripture in that text calls soldiers that are responsible and committed to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, I do. It's not just something that makes us feel good. And if we understand that our nation, the United States of America, is a nation that is unique to all other nations on a global basis. God has blessed our nation as no other nation on the face of God's green earth. And I believe that part and parcel of that, if not totally, is as a result of the fundamental foundational beliefs that our nation is built upon. The warp and the woof, that is the literal fabric of our nation, is built upon the precepts and the principles of the Word of God. You go back to our founding fathers, and there are some that will say, woe is me, they were not all Christians, etc. They were either Christians or God-fearers, and the overwhelming majority, if not all of them, based their decisions on the drafting, in fact, of our Bill of Rights and our Constitution based on a biblical text, based on biblical precepts and principles. So, yes, I believe that is our responsibility, and I believe that if we fail to do so, for example, back in 2012, I believe something like 41 million Christians failed to vote. We're reaping the harvest of that. We're reaping God's judgment as a result of that. If the Scripture says that we're to be salt and light, that's a command that Jesus gives in Matthew 5. I believe that if we're to be salt and light, salt gets out of the shaker, light gets out of the room, and we go out into dying, darkened society, and we make a difference. We impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that that is part and parcel of our responsibility as American citizens. Yes, I do. And the ultimate, okay, by the way, and you pointed it out, and it's wonderful, and I'm thankful that you did, the ultimate goal we have is seeing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately enthroned in Jerusalem in the millennial reign, when you and I will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, then be ushered into heaven and then throughout all of eternity. That's the ultimate leader that we're looking for. Yes, sir.
Yes. Now, excellent. Do you see the United States in eschatology, end time event scenario?
We do not see the United States named as such, no. There's a lot of other nations we do not see named also, so it's not something that's necessarily unique. Here's what I have been preaching and teaching and have researched on many, many, many years now. I believe that what we're watching today is the ultimate judgment of God being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying society. Since May 15th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, God once again started reengaging with a nation that was in diaspora, that is, in dispersion on an international basis for 2,500 years. And May 15, 1945, it became a nation again. And I believe if we look at dispensationalism, we see that the dispensation of the church is rapidly coming to an end, and we're seeing God reengage with the nation of Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye. If anyone wants to know what's going to happen prophetically, eschatologically, look at Israel. Israel is God's timepiece. Israel points to what God is doing. And right now, we're on the very verge of seeing the church raptured out, the man of sin, the Antichrist, stepping on the scene and wreaking havoc for 7 years. And may I remind us, for every child of God, for every Christian, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for redemption draweth nigh. The Scripture tells us in Luke 21:28.
Amen. He that touches you touches the apple or the pupil or the little man of your eye. Yeah, and we don't want to stick our fingers in the Almighty's eye.
Amen. I agree with
God
that,
bless.
Brother. Thank you. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Thank you. Yes, sir, I am delighted to understand that we have those that recognize that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's King now, even though multitudes do not recognize Him or submit to Him. But when it comes to our voting responsibility, we have many citizens that say, I'm just not going to do so. Listen very carefully. I believe that we don't have a right to complain or to bellyache or to gripe in any fashion about what happens in government unless we participate and take part. Government, by the way, is an organization, just as the institution, just as the home, just as the church. It's an institution that God has created. You find in Romans chapter 13, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, government is ordained of God. If it is, we need to recognize that though we're in the world, we're not of the world, we're aliens passing through, but as citizens, we have the right, the responsibility, and the wonderful privilege of inputting as to what ought to be done with our national leadership. This election will make the decision for the direction of our nation for the next 50 years. We have two candidates we're going to talk about for the next two or three days, the different candidates on the national level, the presidential election, the candidacy there. We're going to talk about some of the candidates on a national level in the House and the Senate, and some on the state level and the local level. We're going to talk about some of the referendums that's on for the state of Florida and for Duval County and how we need to vote on those. Listen, you don't have to vote as I do. You don't have to vote as I say. But I believe that I have the responsibility to tell you, based on my vetting of the candidates, of what we ought to do. What I believe every child of God needs to do is vet the candidates and understand what God would have us to do. But listen very carefully. We've got two choices when it comes to our national election for the presidency. We have Hillary Rodham Clinton, and we have Donald J. Trump. Now, in the recent days, Trump has gotten into some hot water with some of the things that supposedly he said about a military man's parents, dad in particular, that had died in combat. That was back in 2004. You would think it just happened yesterday, the way the Democrats have dredged this up and brought it about to elicit from Trump some kind of comment. But the dad, his last name is Khan, K-H-N, tells CNN News that Islam has nothing to do, that terrorism has nothing to do with Islam. Let me just read you an elongated statement. He's talking about Donald Trump. He's very castigating and criticism given for Trump. He says what he cites, speaking of Trump, is in the name of Islam and all that. He says that is not Islam at all. I wish he would have, somebody would have something to say to him, put into his head, these are not terrorists. These are criminals. These folks have nothing to do with Islam. Sounds almost like the Pope. The Pope just said that, you know, Islam has nothing to do with terrorists, even though one beheaded one of the priests in Normandy, France. And yet the Pope comes out and says that, no, that's not terrorism. That's not that at all. And you recall on the broadcast yesterday, I said, is the Pope from another planet? Is he from Mars? Does he have his head buried in the sand? Is he an ostrich? Or has he just become to the point in age that he has dementia? Something is wrong when a national religious, international religious leader like that would make such a statement. In fact, I was delighted to see that Franklin Graham said today in an article in reference to that, said this most certainly is war of religion. And Graham said in his postings on Facebook, all religions want peace, all others want war, the Pope claimed. And yet Franklin Graham rebuked the Pope for saying that while the world is at war, the conflict has nothing to do with religion. That's an asinine, stupid, elementary, juvenile statement. We can see what's happening. And I digress from the Donald J. Trump introduction by saying that because at least Trump has taken a verbal, visible stand in relationship to what's happening on a global basis with the inundation of Islam in every nation. This is the reason I wrote the book two or three years ago, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. We're watching that take place. What you're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, that's happening in all of Europe through Angela Merkel in Germany and the one that's leading in France and all of the others in the European Union. The European Union president has the philosophy that there ought not to be any borders for any of the EU nations. And that has really, really changed the face of Europe. One of the articles, my further introduction to the subject that I want us to talk about, Michael Savage has been restricted from been blocked from posting anything on Facebook. Why did they do that? because he had posted the information about a Muslim migrant killing a pregnant woman in Germany. And Facebook says that does not meet their community standards to have anything that posted on Facebook. Well, Michael Savage was just telling the truth in relationship to what's happening in France and Germany and in London and all of the UK, where literally you have streets that you can't even pronounce the name. You have people that you don't even see because they're dressed in black from head to toe. You have police that will not even go into most of those areas in London as a result of the dangers of Islam. But at least Donald Trump has taken that stand. Hillary Rodham Clinton has not done so. She refuses to do so. May I remind us that that is a global issue that we need to recognize as a global problem, and it's all over the nations around us and also in America. But Hillary Clinton, during the time she was in the State Department and after leaving the State Department, of course, she said when she and the president left the White House that they were flat broke, her words. Yet they've accumulated $152 million for about 23 different speeches that's gone into the coffers of the Clinton Foundation. My question is that simply a slush fund, a piggy bank for selling influence around the globe? I say that it is. You might have a different opinion. You're welcome to that opinion. You can call us at 401-1413 and join in the dialogue and the discussion. May I remind us, the next president will appoint two, perhaps as high as four, Supreme Court justices. May I remind us that we're in a condition in America where we have sodomite marriages that have inundated our nation as a result of the opinion of the Supreme Court. 55 million human beings have been murdered in the womb by way of abortion. Obama's open bathroom edict now is putting every child in schools at harm's way. We have Christians being crucified, Christians being buried alive, drowned, beheaded, burned. Christian freedom and religious liberties in America are being foreclosed upon day by day by day. So if you don't believe there's a problem, you're asleep someplace, or you're on planet Mars. If you don't understand the weightiness and the urgency of this election, then somebody needs to school you on that subject. Illegals are coming into our nation by the thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands. So the question is, what should we do? How should we vote? Well, in the scripture, in Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 27, and I'll not take time to read all of the text, but God speaking to Moses. Moses is trying to adjudicate the problems for all of his people. He sits at the gate from morning until dark, trying to answer all of the questions, trying to resolve all of the issues, trying to solve all the problems. And God says, what you're doing is not right. Thou wilt surely wear away, verse 18, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. This is his father-in-law speaking to him about what God wants done. And therefore, there's a need to recognize, God continues in verse 21, giving the instructions on how we ought to vote. And may I say, it's very implicit and explicit. George, I believe you're on the phone with a question.
Yeah, have a blessed day. I lived 4.5 years in three Muslim countries. I worked there in the oil industry. And it was hell on earth, especially in Saudi Arabia. And I wanted to give you the five steps of Islamic conquest. And they've been using these ever since it was put in writing as to the things which Muhammad did during his lifetime. And every Muslim school child learns these. And the first step is one-sided diplomacy. And they pay off the Secretary of State. They pay off any other person negotiating treaties like Hillary Clinton. And that leads to, number two, mass immigration. And within that immigration, you have terrorists. You have Islamic supremacists. And
That's correct.
Right. And the third step is economic conquest. If they use slave money, which generates a lot of money, and also oil money, then they can buy corporations in another country and businesses, and that also buys the lobbyists who affect the government of that country. And then the fourth step is political correctness. That is basically laid out in Saul Alinsky's literature, like take over the schools, take over healthcare, etc., and criticize anybody who opposes them. And then the fourth step, And then the fifth step is violence. And we're going through all five steps right now because Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the people who have been compromised with money are allowing this to happen.
Absolutely. In fact, may I suggest, and it's my opinion, others may disagree if you would like to, but I have pretty much empirical evidence that validates what I'm saying. Hillary Clinton has literally sold the United States of America during the time that she was as a senator and then Secretary of State. She's literally sold influence to the point where America is in jeopardy. As a result of Hillary Clinton's decision on selling influence, Russia today owns some 20% of the uranium mines in the United States of America. Russia owns
controls. The Chinese own some of the critical trace minerals. The list goes on and on.
Absolutely.
And when I lived in those countries, I saw the politicians come through from the United States with their hand out.
Absolutely. That's right. You're exactly right. This is the reason this election is so absolutely critical, and we need to sit up and take notice. If we, as believers in particular, if we're concerned about, interested in the direction we're going in, we need to sit up, take note, and prayerfully participate in this election cycle as never before. We cannot afford to sit at home, as in 2008 and 2012, where 41 million Christians did not even vote in 2012.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, the U.S. Constitution is a Judeo-Christian Anglo-Saxon document, and it's based on the Knights Templars Constitution and others who were very religious in the past. And the Christians, with the help of Jews, created this country, and we need to vote.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Tell everybody that you can see that. Prayerfully consider being a participant and involved as salt and light. And, brother, keep on keeping on. God bless you for calling.
Thank you.
One of the things that we find in this Exodus text, thank you so much for that call. It was a blessing to hear from you. Others can call you at 401-1413 and participate. In the 21st verse of the 18th chapter of Exodus, the scripture says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of faith, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens." May I suggest that in this context, God was giving Moses instruction on how to set up leadership that would please him, that would allow the leadership to have influence in the decisions it's made in their lives. Therefore, there are several things that I will call to our attention. I'll use this basic text for each day for the balance of this week, because we're going to be talking about what some call political issues. I call them biblical worldview Christian issues, because we're going to be the child of God if we're going to have influence as salt and light. There's no such thing as political, social, economic, religious, spiritual. It's all a biblical worldview, and we need to focus on that and see what God says in God's Word. But first of all, when we look at this text, the one that we vote for must have good capability. The scripture says in that verse, able men, able men. This deals with capability, a record of leadership, not a community organizer, a record of being honest and forthright, not someone that sold influence at the rate of $152 million and more that perhaps we don't even know of. May I remind us, in fact, on just today's recent news, WikiLeaks now has the documents that they say proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, was responsible for gun running, organizing gun running out of Libya into Syria, and caught with her thumb in the pie, if you will, is what brought about the Benghazi fiasco. We'll talk more about that. But the scripture says it needs to be able men. That talks about capability and competence, having knowledge and wisdom to carry out the oath of office, proven capability, qualified to serve, able to do the task that God calls them to do. Listen very carefully. I'm not saying that Donald Trump wears a halo and walks on water. That's not my position. My position is that when we vote for a president, we're not voting for Jesus Christ. When we vote for a president, we're voting for the most capable person to lead our nation based on the rule of law and based on our Constitution and within that, the Bill of Rights. May I remind us that if judges are appointed that are loose likes, lost liberals, that will be appointed under the leadership of Hillary Rodham Clinton, in a five-year period of time after she goes in, we would no longer have religious liberties, religious freedom, freedom of speech, or the right to keep and bear arms. Those are things that right now being foreclosed upon by this wicked leadership out of the White House today under the rulership, the dictatorship of Barack Hussein Obama. I'm adamantly opposed to it. You say, you sound like you're pretty passionate about that. You can bet your boots I'm passionate about it. We need to elect somebody that's capable, has the capability and the competence to carry out the task. God's word says must be able men. And that's talking about generic men or women. Doesn't talk about the particular sex, but able men. May I remind us capable. And competent. Secondly, they must have godly convictions. The scripture says, such as fear God. That fear God means to honor God, reverence to God, to fear Him. It's not talking about now fearing and honoring Allah, but God. It's not talking about having a relationship to Jesus Christ, even though that's wonderful if a candidate does. Recently, I heard from a pretty good source that Donald Trump had just recently gotten saved. I pray that that's so. I cannot declare that. I do not know that. But that is something that's been floating around in some Christian internet blogs. Perhaps that's so. But the scripture says, godly conviction, such as fear God, means to awe, have reverence, honor, recognition for God and who God is. To reverence God and respect God. Respecting Him as creator, control of the universe. May I remind us that the Hillary Rodham Clinton mindset is not respecting anything, much less God. In fact, just the previous campaign for the Democratic Party in 2012, they wanted to even take God out of any mention in the planks of their Democratic platform. They didn't even have a U.S. flag until it was mentioned to them on the platform of the Democratic Convention this cycle. But the scripture says the candidate must have a good capability, that is, capability and competence, must have godly convictions, such as fear God. May I remind us, if we have someone in office that honors and reverences God, if we have one there that respects God and respects our nation and our Constitution as a godly country, a godly nation, we've come a long way from where we are now. We have a man in office that, with all of my most humble opinion, I believe is an Islamic person, a closet Muslim. I believe that he is without any credentials that should have been perfected prior to going into office. I believe that his goal is to destroy the Constitution. We need to wake up, sit up, look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to vote, and vote with what the Bible says is the candidate of God's choice. Thank you for listening today, and God bless you. We will talk again tomorrow at the same time.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.